Wow, it's quite a morning today. I am especially excited about this day. Title of this message is "Celebrating the Sanctity of Life," and we're living in a time where that's not necessarily a truth everywhere, but we are celebrating the value of human life today. Yeah. Give him praise. Give him praise. You know, when I was planning the schedule for May, and just kind of talking about who was going to speak what week, and we settled on me speaking today on Mother's Day, and had been asked when we were going to have the next baby dedication. I thought, what a perfect opportunity on Mother's Day to celebrate children and the value that Jesus puts on human life. And so that's what part of today is about. I'm going to speak here briefly, and you can see there's lots of chairs set up here, and I there's just something really, really, I believe, special about this today. For not only the families that are presenting their children, but for us as a body to be able to do this as a body, to say, oh my goodness, we are celebrating every one of these lives today, and we're behind you, we're for you, we're praying for you, we're with you from beginning to end. Amen. Amen. And so. That's part of it's part of why I'm so excited today. We're dedicating 17 children today. Yeah. Yeah. 14 families will be sitting up here, and that just thrills me, because I see the hand of God. I see the hand of God in every single one of them. You know, and every family brings a unique equation to the table. That's how, and we're going to talk a little bit about this. We know the scripture, and we're going to look at it, how scripture says, you are uniquely and wonderfully made. And that is true for every other person in this room, not just children, every other person in this room. You are uniquely and wonderfully made, and God has a plan for your life. You may not know it. You may not realize that you were born for such a time as this today, for God to speak to you, for God to show his love to you, but today's the day for that. So part of what these babies that we're going to publicly present to you today, they've already been dedicated to Jesus, hopefully. You know, I know them all, but I know some better than others. But they've already, today is just a public declaration to say, my child belongs to Jesus. Hopefully every one of them was dedicated before they ever came out of the womb. That when they were inside, that you as a parent said, I'm dedicating this child, whatever God's purposes were or are, that they'll be realized. They'll be realized. Because I know me. I know, and you know you, as a human being, are limited. We fall short. But my Savior, Jesus, doesn't. He doesn't. And so we have an advocate. And as I was working on this, I was reminded, and I don't have all these passages up here. I have some of them, but I don't have all of them up here. But and I didn't even bring my clicker with me. It's probably sitting in my seat over there. But I was thinking about this verse, and I don't have it up here, but it's from Ecclesiastes, and it's the simple verse that says, he sets eternity in the hearts of men. He sets eternity in the hearts of men. And that was a reminder to me that God did that, that these babies were going to present, that eternity has been set. Here's my helper. Thank you, Dom. I love that man too. He set eternity in your heart. So he gives us the capacity to know him from the very beginning. The capacity to know him from the very beginning. He set that there for you. And I was reminded of this as I was working on this, and I was thinking about, man, so he sets that there, and I was reminded of when I was a little kid asking my mom, how do we know we're really here? And it was a deep question, and she said, ask your Sunday school teacher. But I was thinking that that question came out of this space that God put in my heart for eternity. So there's a longing, there's something inside every one of us, and many of us in this room have tapped into that, have explored that. And in the process, what do we discover? Jesus. Jesus. Because I don't have this up here either, but the scripture says you've been born again. This is 1 Peter 1:23. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. So this seed, eternity set in our hearts, has to be activated, and it's activated by Jesus. Say yes to Jesus, and you'll begin discovering the answers to those questions. Are we really here? Yeah, I'm really here. And John 3, 5, and 6 says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So things come alive. That eternity that's been set in our hearts comes alive when we say yes to Jesus. Comes alive. But it's why we search. It's why we have lack before Jesus. It's why we can't figure things out sometimes. It's why we have questions. It's why we're in this, you know, constant search for truth, and we find that truth only through Jesus, through the Word of God, and through a relationship with him. And so as we're presenting babies and children to you today, we do so knowing that each one of these children has that seed inside of them, that eternity is in their hearts already because God put it there. And the key now for the parents then is to say, I want to nurture that. I want them to discover what that means for their life, because he's got a plan. We sang, the curse has been broken. So the curse of sin that holds us captive has been broken by the power of Jesus, and we don't have to live that way anymore. We don't have to live in that realm anymore. We don't have to live in that darkness and that confusion, because we have an advocate who planted eternity in our hearts for us to respond and say yes, so that the imperishable seed that doesn't ever die will continue to flourish and continue to flourish, continue to flourish. When I said yes to Jesus at age 20, the imperishable seed came alive. And I set my heart for the rest of my days at age 20. Say, yes, I began to know who Jesus was. I'm still getting to know who he is. Has never stopped. It's never stopped. It's the greatest adventure we'll ever be on. Is to say yes to him. John 1:12 says, to all who have received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, the imperishable seed. I was thinking about this idea of the sanctity of life on a couple of different other levels other than just presentation of children to him. I was thinking of how if you have ever been a foster parent to a child, stand up. Foster parent to a child in this room, stand up. It's amazing. You guys can sit down. It's another example of people saying, you know what? There's children out there that don't have a chance unless somebody else steps in. Matthew, nestled in Ian's arms today, was told, they were told he shouldn't even be alive today. They told him he wouldn't live beyond four. It's amazing. It's amazing because God values life. And because so many of you have valued life, you've said, I'll take a child into my home that I didn't give birth to, and I'm going to love them and care for them. I'm going to love them and care for them. I'm sitting here looking at Anna here. We were at a baseball game last night, the Indians baseball game, and Anna is from the Czech Republic. Just wave your hand there, Anna. And she is Shayla and Shane's foreign exchange student, child, basically. But she's basically become part of her family. And they were sitting right in front of us, and we got a chance to chat last night at the ball game. And it was just another reminder of how much God values life to bring Anna from another country to say, I'm going to place her in a home where Jesus is lifted high because Shayla loves Jesus. And it's so awesome to look at so many examples where the sanctity of life is revered. I was thinking of our Jubilee demographic here, and I am part of the Jubilee demographic. I'm not in denial any longer that I'm of that age. But the original Jubilee demographic, I mean, they have so much more legacy than I could ever bring to the table. And I was thinking of it. I didn't know if he'd be here today, but Martin Sayer. Martin, raise your hand or stand up. Stand up so everybody can see Martin. Martin's, I don't know, because I know there's extra grandparents and things here, so I don't know who all's in the room, but Martin's probably the oldest one in the room in his 90s in the room today. And that is worth being celebrated. And I know Martin's going to scold me because he never wants to ever be called. He's told me this before. Don't ever call me out. But I'm not putting Martin on a pedestal. I'm putting Jesus on a pedestal. But Martin still has breath because Jesus says, I still have breath for you. I still have things for you to do. You still have value in my kingdom. And that's true for every one of you Jubilee demographics who are older than me, because you have value. You have value. And we have a strong fellowship in that demographic, in this body, that Pastor Shane has said it over and over again, that has modeled for us how to do church. It has modeled for us how to love and care for one another, because they care for one another every single day. Look out for one another every single day. Someone's got to need this demographic, even in their age, and sometimes in their infirmities, they're still looking out for one another. Still looking out for one another. Here's what the scripture says in the Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms. You have searched me and you know me. I want everybody to be able to read this and personalize this for yourself, because he is speaking these words to each one of you for you to know these words. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my lying down, my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in from behind before you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from you? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, you're there too. Even your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for the night will shine like day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. What he's saying is, I'm part of that work and your works are wonderful. That means that in some fashion, I'm wonderful. Because you did it. Not because I did anything, because you did it. There's not an egotistical boast there. There's a God boast there. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days of my life ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He set eternity in men's hearts. And when we acknowledge that and say yes to Jesus, things come alive. Things come alive. God created mankind in his own image. This is in Genesis, the very beginning of the book. When God created man, he created mankind in his own image. When he said eternity in your hearts, he's creating you to in some way reflect him. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, this is what he says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart for a purpose. Every one of you in this room. Every child we're going to dedicate, baby we're going to dedicate today, has been set with a purpose. Job 12:10, in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. In him, and only him. So I was thinking of this idea of eternity set in our hearts, set in our hearts. Several more verses started coming to me, and we're gonna call up these families in a little bit. So if your child's not in the room, the nursery's not open, so if they're in the room, they're in the nursery by themselves. So that's probably not a good thing. So anyway, I'm just alerting you, get a little bit ready to come forward. But I have a couple more verses I want to share first. But the scripture says this, and as I was thinking about this, eternity set in our hearts, and I read this verse, as the deer pants for streams of water, this is David, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? And the reality, the answer to that question is you can meet with him right here, right now. You can meet with him wherever you are. Because if you've said yes to him, he's in your heart. He's in your heart. You can communicate. He's not far away. He's not far away. And so when he's set eternity in your hearts, he's done that for you to discover him. Discover him. And there's an urgency sort of in this passage. A deer panting means I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And more than anything, beyond anything of this world, Jesus wants us to have a hunger and thirst for him and his ways. And when we say yes to that, he will always satisfy that hunger and thirst. But then he'll give us a little bit more hunger and thirst for a little bit more of him. It's like the cycle never ends. We never fully get enough. Jesus says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So when he said eternity in Jeanette's heart, and she said yes, she said, I want you to have life, but I want you to have it to the full. And I'll provide that for you every single day. And it's ongoing. The full from yesterday won't be enough for tomorrow. And then Jesus says, this blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does he say he's going to do? You'll be filled. You'll be filled. You'll be filled. And guess what? When he fills you, it's for you to be poured out. It's not just for you to say, oh, I'm going to fill up Don today so I can fill him up and he can just say, oh, I'm so full. No, it says, I want to spill him out because there's somebody around him. He has something for somebody around him. That's how the kingdom works, that we get to just spill out wherever we go. Boy, I could tell you so many stories. We talked in open door class. We talked open door class just about being at a baseball game last night and just things that Holy Spirit just does among you that seem like they're just incidental or random or whatever, but we don't serve a random God. We serve a purposeful God. And I'm not going to get into all those stories, but my purpose of even mentioning it is that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, if you represent Jesus, he's going to use you. Sometimes you'll know about it, sometimes you won't. It matters. Your life matters. Your decisions matter. So as I call up families, I'm not calling you up by name. You can just, when I tell you, just come on up. And if you have family members with you that you want to stand around you, feel free to come up and stand around them. But I want you to know as I call them up here that there's four specific things, and I'm just going to go through them quickly, that this represents the love of Jesus, first of all. These families represent what the love of Jesus looks like because he loves each one of these. Just as he loves you, he loves each one of them in ways that many of them have embraced fully, but we're still embracing as we go along. It's not over. It's ongoing. So these people represent the love of Jesus. As I was there before you, I want you to see the love of Jesus represented as we gather together here. I want you to see that this group of people represent the grace of God, because Jesus has grace on every single person. Not one of us can earn salvation. And each one of these people that will be presented to you today, even parents that are presenting, have received God's grace. And every one of us needs it. Salvation is not earned. Saying yes to Jesus doesn't earn us. The only thing it gets us is eternity. We have eternity, and we get to follow him everything in life, but we're not earning points. We'll say, well, yeah, you showed up for church today. You get 10 extra points. Or you did a good work. Jesus died for everyone, wants no one to perish without knowing him. So this group represents the grace of Jesus. This group represents the sanctity of Jesus, a set apartness. And you may be sitting up here today and saying, I don't feel like I'm set apart. Well, then let's change that. Today could be a day. Let's change that. Say, well, okay, well, why not? Why not? Because Jesus wants you to be set apart. He wants everything about you. And what you model for these children, what you model for these babies. I mean, some of these babies, we have a fairly new, really newborn one, you know, back there. That only up to this point, only knows the security of his parents and his grandparents and other family members that hover around him. But eventually, the parents get to explain, you're only on loan to us from God. You're only on loan from us to God. He's the one I want you to serve. He's the one I want you to serve. Yesterday at men's prayer meeting, Pastor Shane at one point was talking about his dad, Sean. You all know, many of us know Sean. Sean was the first believer in his family. The dad was the first believer in his family. And Pastor Shane happened to point out at prayer meeting yesterday that his dad was sitting there at prayer meeting. And Pastor Shane was sitting there at prayer meeting. And Pastor Shane's brother, Sean's other son, Sean, was sitting at prayer meeting. And so the legacy that Dad Sean sets for Sean Jr. and Shane, that they're now setting for their own sons and daughter in Sean and Cheney's case, is so powerful and so relevant, because how we carry on what Jesus has begun is so important. And then he talks about, we prayed for Scott, who was at prayer meeting, and he talked about Roy, and Roy coming to faith, coming to know Jesus, and how Roy had two sons, Roy and Scott, and how they're carrying on faith, and how they're passing that on to children. Jesus does the work, but they're modeling what that looks like so that their children carry this on as well. That's what this looks like. And that's what, as we present these families to you, my charge to them will be, carry this out. We know we'll do it imperfectly. We're not talking about doing everything right all the time. Roy wrote this amazing, amazing piece that as his father was passing away. And I read it yesterday, and I could see these words being put on the page in real time, that revelation was coming of how our lives are sometimes messy and we make mistakes, and part of legacy is also sometimes passing along bad things to our children, that we make mistakes and we fall short. But I could see this revelatory words coming to Roy's mind as he's putting them on the page, and it seemed like it was happening in real time as he was just sitting there over the course of time that he sat with his dad as he was passing away. And Sean sent me, he had read it, and he sent me a little bit of a thing yesterday, and he summarized a few things. It's very long, but it's very, very good. And if you want to see it, we'll show you how to get there. But here's something that he wrote about, and here's how Sean summed some of it up, just a couple sentences. True legacy is not anything you work toward, but it's your external breath throughout your life. It's not a destination, nor is it a goal, but it's a lifetime of impact, just living a life in this setting, living for Jesus, living for Jesus. And that's what we get to do. That's what we get to do when we say yes, when we respond to God's deposit of eternity in our hearts, and we respond to that, and we discover that the answer is Jesus and only Jesus. Nothing else can fill that place. We just get to live for Him. And it matters. It matters. I don't have this up there, but this is what 1 John 5 says. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who have believed in the Son of God that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants every person in this room today to know that you can have eternal life. He set it up for you to discover that. But it doesn't just happen willy-nilly because that's his desire. We respond. We respond with our yes to all who have received him, to all who have received him, the scripture says, have you received him?